I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Jay Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say
Your three choices are beginner,
yes,
intermediate,
yes,
or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, Jay Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening, or this morning even, by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
That's me.
And Joe Brenton.
Yeah, boys.
Wow, we're off to a flying start. Recording Sunday morning rather than Monday evening. Jay Cross hasn't had his coffee yet.
I have not had a coffee yet.
He's basically useless.
That's not true.
Joe Brenton, even sans boozage, is awful in the mornings.
I hate the mornings.
Indeed. Oh, wait, you did dry March.
I did do dry March.
And now it's April.
Yes, that's
why,
right.
Why not drunk already?
Well, I did.
That's an Irish coffee.
I did I did go out and for a mate's birthday, but I didn't really enjoy drinking in that.
Oh.
Is this a changed man?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, I was enjoying the notch tighter my belt was going.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Before you were absolute bloater, so
yeah, exactly.
What have you done with the extra £500 this month?
Well, that's it, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty nice.
This is what,
like, my wage went in, and there was still like a huge colossal chunk of money, because it's not just the booze, it's the having the eBay app on your phone whilst you're drunk.
Yeah,
that's the real problem.
And also buying that falafel on your way home.
Yeah,
that you definitely didn't need.
There's the falafel on the way home. There's the one you think it would be a great idea to start like a mini go-kart course in your house by purchasing 5 children's electronic cars.
Okay.
That's expensive.
That's bad. Bad times.
Yeah, I didn't really do that. But that would be a great idea.
I sort of think that booze actually doesn't make you fat, but it's all the purchases that you make around it that do.
Yeah.
Like, if you just drunk booze, you'd get skinnier. But if it's the kebab and the bacon and egg sandwich in the morning, you know, that's the problem. That's what does it. Matt Knight, perky as ever, how has your week been?
Good. In the final stages of marathon training, which is I basically have to eat lots of pasta and make sure I run every day just a little bit before Sunday.
The first bit sounds fantastic. The rest of it sounds absolutely rubbish.
But you can come and cheer me on Sunday. I'll be in Brighton.
Have you got like a race number and
running
stuff like
my heart
that?
Out. Yeah, I get that on Saturday, and then you can follow me on the Brighton Marathon app.
Well, there we go.
I've done that last couple of years.
Yeah, you can follow me around the course.
Do you run past my house?
Don't run past your house. I might run near Jay's house though.
Ooh, exciting!
Maybe no, wait, maybe. We'll go out quite far.
We'll put your race number up on the Facebook group, so if people are in town on Sunday, they can come watch you run. Maybe we might be down there as well and doing that. Anyway, big news week on the guitar front. Lots of little things. I guess we're in a bit of a quiet period now.
Well, a quiet period. We're in like the week before Music Messer.
That's what I mean. It's no one's really announcing stuff now. It's not like NAMM, I think, where people get the news out early.
No.
I think it's more like people just do it at Music Messer. And this year, I don't know how much stuff there's going to be. Not too many brands there.
I've been like contacting brands to sort of find out like what they're releasing, to see if there's any embargoed stuff so that I can leak it.
Just, you know, talk about it early and things like that.
Exactly. But surprisingly, like a lot of people that I've contacted are like, oh no, we're not. There's nothing new.
Yeah.
It's very, very little. Bear in mind, we're this close. I haven't actually done really any prep for it because no one's really announcing that much.
What there has been this week is a load of fake products announced. I hate April Fool's Day. I hate it so much. I think the plan this week is to talk about it on the Patreon, the five worst April Fool's things from yesterday. I absolutely hate it. Lazy Marketing Day, that's what it should be called.
I think it's all just quirky rubbish.
Yeah, quirky, horrible marketing.
Oh, you guys are lovely.
Indeed. Shall we dive into some real news?
Nude Apostle.
Wow, that was different.
No, thanks.
Is that because we're doing Sunday morning?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, good. First up, Keeley Electronics have announced the Filaments Distortion. Matt Knight, give us the deets.
So Keeley, absolutely smashing it in terms of making products of the last 12 months. Countless amount of pedals flying out of the factory. This is a much, I suppose, higher gain distortion. So something that they don't usually do. This is kind of more of a foray into, higher gain. 6 controls. So you've got full EQ control, plus presence, plus level and gain. And you've got 3 different boost switches, which I kind of really like. So you've got like a bright switch, a gain switch, and then an extra boost switch, which just adds a little bit more volume. So, I mean, it's basically an all-in-one high gain hard rock distortion. We know it's going to be great quality because, I mean, the Keeley stuff at the moment is just everything that I've seen or tried from Keeley is like really reasonably priced and like incredibly well built.
We're seeing a bit more of this, aren't we, with things like the Single Duncan Palladium, like just good versatile high gain stages. Whereas, you know, people before would have gone for, here's the death metal distortion, here's the hard rock distortion. There does seem to be a kind of influx of like all-in-one high gain pedals.
I think so, and I think a lot of people are starting to run stuff like, I've seen quite a lot of videos and a lot of people running like these sort of distortion pedals straight into the effects loop return.
Okay.
So using it almost as like a preamp.
Right.
I think there's just more people out there kind of going, well, there's a lot of like Marshall in a box type things, but what other sort of high gain amps would you want that doesn't necessarily have that kind of mid push like a Marshall? This is kind of Keeley's sort of step into it, because they're obviously really known for more recently the fuzzes they've been doing, obviously really well known for their Super Fat mod, which was originally based off their modded Boss BD2.
Yeah,
great delays, obviously the compressor. So this is the first time they've gone into something a little bit more high gain.
Keely have
looks really good.
Keely have really been firing on all cylinders recently. Like everything in the current catalogue is really top notch. Do you remember the 30 milliseconds double tracker?
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah.
Absolutely love that pedal. What a great idea. And it was one of those things that, like, this is a really good idea that's really useful and usable, but no one else is doing it.
Yeah, just that kind of ADT type double tracking is a cool thing. Yeah. It's used on, you know, if you're looking at like 60s records and stuff, it's used all the time.
Yeah.
I guess most people would just do it with a kind of vintagey sounding delay, but yeah, having a pedal that's kind of dedicated for that to get that almost that kind of warble as well.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a completely different company to what they were like 10 years ago, because Keely were just kind of like modded Boss pedals and a couple of their own. And now it's just like all their own things. I mean, there's even some pedals that we haven't really talked about that came out last year, like the Luma, which was their reverb and fuzz. So you had like three different fuzzes and then three different reverbs.
That obvious combination.
With an expression pedal input and stuff. You know, they did all the kind of like Memphis Sun, which was their like reverb and delay to kind of give you that sort of real vintage sort of Sun Studio sound.
There was
the Abbey Chamber Reverb.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then all the workstations, which were the kind of they had a delay workstation, a mod workstation, and a tone workstation.
What was the idea behind those?
They're like multi effects. Okay. So the, for example, the delay is a separate foot switch for delay and reverb, which you can then blend between the two on each one, and then a tap tempo. There was 8 reverbs and 8 delays. They did something similar with the mod station, you know, so there's quite a few versatile pedals out there, and a lot of kind of like fuzz and modulation or fuzz and delay pedals in one, which I always think is quite cool because it helps minimize the size of your pedal board.
Definitely.
And we'll get a touch of flack for it as well, but they look really good as well. I love all the finishes on the pedals. They kind of have some that are more kind of straight up,
there's
professional
some,
looking.
There's some, yeah, there. Really, yeah, basic kind of utilitarian designs there, isn't there?
But then they've got some really cool sort of weird, you know, sort of screen printed style pedals, which are super cool.
Really cool to see the kind of evolution of that brand from, yeah, pedal modder and kind of one of the more famous modders. I guess it was him and Analog Man, right, Matt? Those are the two guys doing the Boss mods.
Matt. Sorry, you cut out slightly.
Yeah. So it was kind of Keely and Analog Man who, I guess, started off doing the Boss mods.
Yeah. I think, well, I mean, talking to a lot of people at the moment for kind of future Patreon episodes, like a lot of pedal builders, and so many people started on Boss pedals. I think because they were the easiest. You can walk into pretty much any store in the world and buy a Boss pedal, and because of the way they're laid out on a circuit board, they were one of the kind of easiest things to kind of dial in and sort of mess around with, but yeah, that's what Keely kind of got known for. And obviously they're now coming back with Mammoth Electronics, who did the DD3 for me. They're basically doing licensed Keely mods to Boss pedals.
That's a cool thing. I didn't realise that. So what, they're just going back to the original kind of Keely mods and offering that as a service?
Yeah, that, and they're all licensed from Keely, so they're all exactly the same circuit designs.
Wow. Okay. Is that
all the exact same mods?
Is that because Robert Keely doesn't have time to do them?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't. Because it wasn't until maybe last year I realised that Keely hadn't got any modded pedals on their website. And I think they've been focusing on their own thing for quite some time. But I always think the demand is there for the kind of the Keely stuff. And I think Mammoth have been making enclosures for the pedal market in America, and I think they also do a lot of their own mods, and they approached Keely, and I think there was a thing there. They were like, yeah, well, we'll do the old Keely mods. So you can basically go back and get all of those vintage, as it were, Keely mods done today.
That's super neat. I'm into that in a big way. I didn't realise that was available.
Hopefully we're going to get a couple to review, so...
Talking about things you can modify and things that are weird and wacky, Joe Branton, do you want to deliver the next deets? Just released this week, a brand that you talked about before, Traveller Guitars, have announced the AG450 EQ. This is right up your street, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Just the glee on your face.
So the Traveller Guitars obviously are
they make Traveller Guitars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And Traveller Guitars are, of course, the future. Like that's what we will all work towards. That's why we've all got, you know, phones that are computers that we carry around in our pockets.
You're like the iPhone 7 headphone jack. That's what this is of guitars, like completely unnecessary.
Well, no, this is absolutely the future. I mean, and the other thing is, of course, a traveler guitar, it needs to be small. Now, this is an acoustic from the Traveler Guitar Company. And, of course, there have been small acoustics before. You know, we've seen Taylor do the GS Mini. That was their attempt.
Yep.
Unfortunately for Taylor, what they lacked was vision. Because one thing that
they made something actually useful and good.
Well, what I'm saying is headstocks, do we need them?
Yes.
Well, the answer is no, because headstocks make your guitar neck heavy for a start. They're quite a long way away from you, so it's harder for you to reach your arm out in order to tune from there. What would make more sense is if everything's happening really around the body of the guitar. So there's no
need for you to reach around to the headstock.
No, exactly. So what we're talking about is bridge tuners. And what would be better than having bridge tuners on an acoustic guitar?
I can think of something better than having bridge tuners on an acoustic guitar,
actually. There's one thing in particular that's better than that.
Now, bear with me, bit of a wild one. Headstock tuners on an acoustic guitar.
No. Bridge tuners, obviously better because of their location. Now, really think about that for, especially the listeners, because you won't necessarily have a picture of one of these in front of you like we do here. But think about that. We're talking about, like, bridge tuners, like status style bridge tuners on an acoustic guitar. Think about how that could possibly work.
Badly, I'd imagine.
Well, no, it's not badly, but the point is it's very difficult. So what incredible skill traveler guitars have shown to manage to fit a bridge tuning system onto an acoustic. Not just any acoustic. Bear in mind, traveler guitar make pint-sized guitars for you to travel around with easily. They easily go in hand luggage. Well, this one probably doesn't go in hand luggage, but you know, these they easily go in small places. If you're driving around in a smart car or something, this is ideal.
I mean, you could definitely fit a normal guitar in a smart car.
Not with these.
I'm just gonna put it out there. Surely though, fine tuners on the bridge are probably more accurate and more stable than headstock tuners.
Of course they are. Yeah. Bridge tuners
are
better.
So actually, the tuning system is probably slightly better than having headstock tuners.
Thank you, Matt Knight. So anyway, so this is it. So exactly. So as Matt says, this has a better tuning system, certainly, than something like a Taylor GS Mini. This is also full scale, which is most surprising.
I was not expecting that.
No, exactly. Which of course, we all know from sort of things like the GS Mini that they don't really work. Like, short scale acoustics is a terrible idea.
It's fine. What you don't get is decent string tension. Like, even with sort of fairly heavy strings that are still playable on there, they are kind of a little bit rubber bandy. They do flap around a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I guess that is the problem, generally speaking, on traveler guitar stuff, is you are going to have the low tension because they are almost always short scale, in some cases extremely short scale.
So do you need double ball end acoustic strings for this?
No, it takes normal strings.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, and it strings from the bridge, not from the headstock.
How does it attach to the headstock then?
It goes through a thread and then...
Okay. I mean,
like a Floyd style locking nut on the top.
Yeah. I mean, that is always the worry with these kind of headless things, is it, you know, you're going to struggle to find strings. And I'd imagine that acoustic double ball end strings are few and far between.
Are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
every brand makes
of
them.
Of course. Why would they not? I guess if it uses like normal strings, then that's not terrible. But
and what is super cool is this isn't just an acoustic, it's an electroacoustic, which features a shadow preamp with a full sort of a three-band EQ. It might not actually be a three-band EQ, but you know, it's got EQ on there.
Okay,
and it's got a tuner on there and a mini jack out for your headphones. It's also got an aux in. So
why would you need headphones on an acoustic guitar?
So you can play along to your MP3
auxiliary in.
So you can play a backing track.
Are you familiar with the Simpsons episode Homer's Car?
No.
Because
yeah, I get it. No, this is an excellent guitar for the measly sum of $479. Traveller have released it for. This is a cool product. Travel guitars are the future.
I'm not sure about this travel quest that you're going on, but
headless guitars look cool, and travel guitars are the future.
Joe,
and this
I think
is wicked.
I think the only way to figure out whether this to prove to us that this is a good instrument is for you to buy one out of your own pocket and then go travelling for as long as possible,
just forever, basically.
Yeah, just and then, you know, get back in touch with us in, or don't, you know, or just you know, whatever you need to do, man.
Send us an email. What you should do is maybe if you go to like different countries and record podcasts and stuff there, and then we'll put it out, but it'll be Patreon only.
Yeah, and it'll be with your new friends, the people who also like traveler guitars.
I'm sure there are plenty of people that like traveler guitars.
Listen up, both of you are going to get on so well.
It'll be Patreon-only episodes, but don't look for them because you won't be able to because you can't be a Patreon subscriber because of business.
Yeah.
Business
conflict
stuff.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, you can't.
It'll mess up the books.
Just don't ever check whether they've gone up or not.
Great.
Anyway, we should do some more news.
It also comes with a gig bag.
Good, good. And when you're doing your gigs, you can use that gig bag. Matt Knight, this sounds like some news that you can speak to. A company called Even MIDI.
Sorry, some news that you can speak to.
Yeah.
All right.
Even MIDI have announced the H9 MIDI controller. Now, this when I first saw it, I thought this was an Eventide product. It doesn't look like it is. They just got a very similar logo.
No, I saw this the other day and was like, this product is brilliant. Because if you've got an H9, the biggest problem with it is it's not pedal board friendly in the sense of setting up or changing presets. If you've got a MIDI controller or something, it's great because you can scroll up and down through presets, and you know, if you're using it at home or in a studio situation, it's great because you've got it on desktop and you can scroll through or use the app. This basically allows you, it basically turns your H9 or up to two H9s into a foot pedal and gives you all the controls you want on physical knobs, so you can actually edit all the patches in real time without the need for the app.
That's always what's confused me about the H9 is obviously, you know, it's an incredible processor and, you know, you can chain them together and, you know, there's lots of kind of wizardry you can do in terms of downloading new effects and stuff like that. But there's basically no controls at all on the front, is there? It's just preset select.
You have to use the app. You have to use the app if you want to edit it. You can do it on the panel, but it's you have to basically hit X, Y or Z, scroll to the thing you want to adjust, delay or whatever, then scroll up or down using the wheel depending on where you want, then go to the next. And it's like, and you don't even know what parameters are on that effect unless you physically scroll through it. So you basically have to use the iOS app or Windows or Mac to edit it. This puts everything via MIDI on a foot pedal that you can control with real controls.
It's weird that it's limited to two H9s because you'd think that it's just like, it was just switching between them, so it's weird that you can't do more than two. Can you think of a reason?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's... I think because you can basically run it in single mode or dual mode, which allows you to do two different presets. And I would have thought with MIDI, it would have just been like MIDI out to MIDI in, but maybe it's because it's the limit on the controls.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. But I've got in contact with them about it and just kind of asked a couple of questions for guitar nerds about it, because I think it'd be a cool thing to show off, because they definitely basically haven't done any videos on it. And it's just like, this product seemed brilliant because you can do so much with the H9, but you have to have the app. And then if you've not got the app, it basically limits the entire product.
Yeah, it's a strange beast, the H9, and I'm surprised just how many pedal boards they actually appear on.
Because it's like the M5, because the M5 is great, but the processing power is nowhere near as good as the H9.
Yeah.
But the M5's got all the controls on the top panel, so it's easy to edit all the patches.
It does seem strange that Eventide haven't sort of addressed the fact, or even this issue.
I think it would just be too expensive.
Yeah.
I'm sure that must be the reason.
But I also don't think people would care. You know, you look on like pedal boards of Doom or on like pedal boards on Instagram and stuff, you often see people with two, three H9s. Like, people love that pedal. And if they built something that allowed you to use multiples and, you know, control it properly, people would definitely buy it.
Even if they bought out something in like a Helix type format, you know, like a large pedal board that was built around the H9.
Completely. Eventide are a very odd company. I think that my understanding is that they sort of came from like rack, a Pro Audio rack background, and I just think that they haven't quite. I mean, maybe they just haven't quite realised. I mean, who knows? It just seems very.
I mean,
strange
they've got all the algorithms there, but yeah, it's just in a live situation. Yeah. I mean, with mine hooked up to the ES8, it's brilliant because you can do everything over MIDI.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem. If someone bought a MIDI foot controller and an H9, you've got to sort of learn how to program MIDI as well at the same time. You've got to understand how that works, where this plugs straight in and everything's pretty much instantly ported to it. Yeah, so it's just...
I think for most people, there'll always be a bit of an oddity because there's no controls on the front. You know, it doesn't look like a multi-effects pedal, even though that's essentially what it is. It's kind of a brain of a multi-effects pedal with no controls. So, yeah, this opens up some possibilities. Do you know roughly how much they are, Matt?
€249.
Ooh, how much is an H9 these days?
If you want the H9 Max, which is the one that I, to be honest, I would always recommend going for because you get all the algorithms on it, I think they're £600.
Okay, so for under £1,000, it's basically the controller and the brain together. So
yeah, because you can buy the H9 Core, which has got no algorithms in it, but then you have to buy the algorithms you want, and that each algorithm is like £20.
Yeah,
so it's. Matt, it's almost worth just buying the Max.
If you've got the Max and then you buy a Core, you can port the algorithms over, can't you?
Yeah. If you buy the Max, you can actually have up to five. You could then buy four H9 cores, and each one of those would be. But in fact, actually, algorithms. To be honest, that's what I did because a friend of mine bought a Max, and he was like, "Oh, if you buy a Core, you can just share my code." So I've got access to his account. And my H9 Core is an H9 Max. Nice. But if you go to sell it, it's still a Core.
Right.
So it's not that you upgrade it and then it's like got all those in there. It's still like blocked in some way. So it's only physically activated by a password. So if you then delete the account off that H9, it's still a Core.
Wow.
You can't sell it as a Max, basically.
So what you're saying is, for the moment, you're just trying those sounds, and at some point down the line, you will definitely make the full purchase and use all of those sounds which you have paid for.
No.
Okay, good. We should move on. Talking about all things digital and all things weird and things that I generally don't understand, Joe Branton, your favourite company, Positive Grid, have just announced a brand new delay pedal, the Bias Delay.
That's true. Also, Doug Wimbish has a gold-plated H9.
Really?
Yeah, have we spoke about that?
No.
He has two on his pedal board and one of them is gold.
Right, of course.
They gave it to him.
Just not couldn't be bothered to get two matching ones. Just
Well, I mean, presumably, different effects.
I tried listening to quite a lot of Living Colour the other day.
Oh yeah,
it's quite dense. It's quite tough to get through.
Tough. Oh god, no, it's just
they got some big pedal boards.
Yeah, some big boards. That tune Cult of Personality, where the guitar player has three guitar solos and they're all basically unintelligible.
Yeah, that's what you
fantastic.
Want.
Fantastic.
That is what you want.
So tell us about the Bias Delay.
So yes, Positive Grid, the people that gave us the Bias Amp and Bias Effects, which is obviously the best way that you can record your guitar if you're using, if you're recording at home. Anyway, they're really good. They've recently started outboard stuff. We had the Positive Grid Bias Amp Head, which stormed onto the market to compete with the Helix, the Kemper, and the DV Mark stuff. And Axe FX, I suppose, as well. And the Positive Grid Amp Head, I think, has been absolutely brilliant, if not a little bit, dense.
Quite a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. They also, at the same time, released a drive pedal. And the drive pedal was kind of exactly the same premise as the head, only it was specifically for drive effects on the floor. And they've now done the same thing with delay. So... the gist with these pedals is that they can be any in this case delay effect that you want, just like the drive one could be any drive, so you can choose from their massive bank of sort of downloadable effects and port them onto the effect. It's the same chassis as they had for the Bias drive, which gave you three presets, A, B, and C, and then with the Bias Delay you also get a tap tempo in the same format as the drive one. You get like a rotary, so you can switch between like a digital analog tape space, reverse, you know, all those things that you sort of expect to be, all those standard like delay presets. The thing is that the weird thing I thought about the...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Positive grid head, which is the case, again, on the bias drive and the bias delay. Whilst they've got all those presets, the digital analog tape space,
yeah,
it's kind of just a guide. Like, you could put anything on them.
Yeah, of course.
Because
yeah,
you can put anything on to the presets. So it's sort of like them suggesting. I just don't know why they bother, because it's kind of like, well, if the point is you can make this whatever you want, why are you then sort of putting the labels on
there? Does it not
work
like a DL4, though, where you've got the bass sound, then you adjust the parameters from there, and then you save that to one of the four presets across the front? Three presets across the front.
No, because you can... Yes. What? Matt?
No, because I think it's a bit... Isn't it a bit like the TC Electronic Flashback X4, where you've got all those sounds, and then you've got three preset slots? But you can still edit the sound inside as well.
Right, yeah, okay, I see.
It is like that. And also, you've got the ability to create a pedal sound from scratch.
Okay.
From component level. So you say, like, right, I want this, I want to use this and this and this. Even down to, I was reading about it, even down to changing the virtual power supply input. So if you want like a really clean, sparkly, loads of headroom type delay, then you can make it an 18 volt power supply.
Right, okay.
Or if you want it really gritty and horrible, you can cut it all the way down to six.
That's so good.
6 volt. I think that's mad. I think that's really, really interesting.
I like the fact that it's all like cloud based as well. So you can like create presets and then you can send them to other people as well, which is quite cool. And you can download other people's presets. It's all app based. It's great because they've using, as Joe said, the exact same technology for the drive and the head. It all works the same way.
Can it do that thing like the DL4 with the power supply, where when you plug it in different places, it will change the speed of the tap tempos that you've saved on the unit, because the power supply in there is really shonky. If it could do that, then yeah, I'm fully in. My big question is, how much is this?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The positive grid stuff is really expensive. I mean, they are like, I don't know an exact price. It's around £400,
whoa,
which is like,
what,
that's
I mean,
what the drive
nearly
was. Now, this can, but the point is, this can be whatever you want it to be.
True.
And that's why they're so brilliant and so versatile.
How far do you need to go with delays, though? Like,
well,
you
this is it.
Pick
the,
up a sec. I know I keep
pretty
parking.
Far.
Yeah. I actually think delays where this works. It was the drive one.
Yeah.
Because when Harry, the fella from Positive Grid, came down to show me the bias drive, he was like, yeah, you can do. He explained everything, how you can like take it apart at component level, how great it will be, and then he was like, yeah, and here's this one that I built that's based on the OCD.
Okay.
And I was like, an OCD is like £130.
Yeah. But yeah, there's all the other sounds in
there. Yes, of course. Of course. And that is the point. But what I mean is drives get really good at around £150.
Yeah.
I mean, there are great drives for £50, but a really good drive around £150.
See,
there is a delay.
I think we're in completely the opposite camps in terms of guitar playing, because I think for a drive, for me, that works way better.
Really?
Because I like a variety of drives. With delay pedals, you know, like I've got a DL4, but I could easily have a carbon copy or a DD3, and that would be fine. You know,
yeah.
It's a delay pedal. It makes the delays repeat.
There are things I love. I love the dive bombing on a carbon copy, but at the same time, I love the recklessness of like the DM2W.
Yeah.
You know, and there are so many things that you could include in this, that you could build anything that you want, and that makes it brilliant. And actually, the being edit down to component level is kind of what they had on the amp setting, because of course you can access the preamp and the power amp on the amp version and change out valves and components.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I love that they've gone that detailed.
Is it one of those things though that they've added all that level of detail, but it's so easy to make it sound terrible?
Yes.
You know, when like some companies kind of add all this stuff in, you're like, oh, I'm going to change all these settings. And then you're basically like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You go to like a normal preset and change the time and the effects level. And you're like, oh, this is great.
I agree on the head. I really love the head and I love how much you can do. But when I was messing around with it trying to tailor sounds, I'd be like, oh, there's this sort of weird crunchy low mids thing that I'm not liking in this sound. What should I do? Shall I edit it on the rotary tone controls on the front end? Should I go into the power amp and look at maybe changing some of the valves out in there? Should I look at the sort of components that are going in there? Should I look at the cabs the cab sim that I've got it going into, or maybe the sort of the load box that it's going into, because they have, you know, virtual load boxes and things like that. It's like, where do you start?
Yeah,
when you find something you don't like, where do you start?
How do you know what is causing that
exactly
to be the problem?
Great for building from the ground up, but
it's
limited, like when you're using a preset, unless you find one that you're completely happy with.
It's like a Lego set, isn't it? Like, yeah, if you want to actually start from the beginning and go like, okay, well, I'm thinking I want something Marshall-y, so I'll try, you know, these EL34s or whatever, and I want this kind of cab or whatever you want to do. But yeah, if you just want to go for something on the fly really quickly, just use the presets, I guess.
Yeah.
Joe Branton, you're just waving some news in front of me.
Oh yeah, I thought we'd missed out on some stuff.
Well, let's talk about this very quickly, and maybe we can go into some more detail next week. I'm quite concerned that we've not done many questions over the last few weeks,
okay,
so we should,
okay, sure,
should plow through some questions.
Well, it was shared on the Facebook group, but Moore have announced a load more pedals that they're going to be unveiling at Music Messe.
So I saw this, and some of this stuff they've talked about already or has been seen already.
Well, we already spoke about the Tender Octave Pro last week, but also that they're going to do a Mod Factory Pro.
Okay.
That's
good, because the Mod Factory is discontinued now, isn't it? And that's one that we always rave about in terms of getting into modulations.
Yeah, that was the best thing on the market for getting into modulation, the Mod Factory, just because it did so much in such a small footprint for such a reasonable price. Of course, the problem with it was that it was a micro pedal that had every single modulation function on it, so difficult to actually use more than one thing in a live situation. So the Pro obviously is now a double foot switch, has more rotary controls, and is much easier to sort of flick between presets and decide what you're going to go for. So
sounds loads more usable.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and it's still going to be well affordable. I mean, the Pro stuff is always well under £100, so... Yeah, I just think, yeah, I'd love more stuff. I think they generally speaking put out high enough quality stuff for reasonable prices, and they are a perfect way to get into any effect, and a great sort of space saver. The other two things they've released are the most exciting things I think Moore have ever put out. The one of which is their Red Truck, which is their...
Such a good name.
It's a great name, and it's kind of their first foray. Their first foray, I think, into multi-effects. Well, obviously, the Mod Factory, I guess, is a multi-effects, but their
have
first...
They not, I thought they did... I'm sure they did something like... That looked very similar to those Zoom GMXs or whatever they were.
Yeah, they do like a little two-button multi-effects. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like the Moore... G something, I think, and it was like a two button with an expression pedal, but yeah, it looked exactly like a Zoom multi effect. Yeah.
Well, this is more Moore seeing the Tech 21 fly rigs and deciding to do something like that. So this is a multi effects with tons of, well, actually it's a multi effects, I guess, also other than the fly rig, kind of based off of the way Boss have done multi effects where they keep everything rotary. So there's no screen so that you're sort of hopping around awkwardly between effects. Everything's done with neat rotary controls. And when I first saw the picture of it, I thought it was going to be like them doing an RC300.
It looks
like
very
a big Boss looper.
Yeah, it looks like a loop station.
Yeah, exactly. But actually what it is six individual foot switches. Six individual foot switches. And bear in mind, Moore, as always, have managed to fit this into a really sort of pint-sized thing, so you've got those micro rotary controls on everything. So it's six rotary controls, and then you get six foot switches, and then six rotary controls on each foot switch.
Yeah, of course.
On five of them, because the sixth one is a tap tempo and a tuner, so you get a tuning screen on that, and the rotary controls, the foot switches are then reverb, delay, modulation, distortion, and drive. Distortion and drive dealt with separately.
Weird.
Yeah. But
I mean, I've just gone onto their website, and there's so many pedals on there that I don't think I've ever seen announced or anyone talk about.
Yeah.
Do they still
it's
do
ridiculous.
Those, they still do those little square ones?
They all not by the looks down? Of it. But right. I mean, they've got two dedicated acoustic ones, a different phaser. They've got a buffer, which I haven't seen. New drives.
Loads of
they've got
bits.
Three different pro reverb pedals, or two different pro reverb pedals, by the looks of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's the like Shimverb and the
Blue Sky.
Yeah, we spoke about that last week.
What was the?
Yeah.
But the
something crab. Blues crab.
Blues.
Yeah. That was a distortion.
Oh yeah. Of course, at NAMM they announced. We spoke about
Skyverb. Sorry.
They spoke about they released a complete range of preamps, which was totally cool.
They did
8, 10 preamps, something
which
like that.
I think we got a question about that actually later on.
Well, here's the thing. This is the most exciting Moore release. They obviously did all those preamps based on loads of great amplifiers.
Yep.
They've released a power amp.
Okay.
They have released the Baby Bomb 30, which is a 30-watt power amp. That's brilliant.
Is it
so now
pedal format?
Yeah, in a micro pedal. So you can now
that's gonna
buy
be
one
horrendous.
Of no, that is going to be brilliant because you can now buy one of their preamps, buy one of their power amps, maybe get a couple effects. You can have your entire amplifier and effects chain potentially
and
on
cab.
And cab on potentially on a pedal train micro.
Let me introduce you to the Electro-Harmonix 22 caliber, was it? And
44
Magnum.
They were not good.
No,
they were not good. They were very breaky and also gave you electric shocks when you touched the microphone.
I do hope that the Moore is good because, and you know, I can't imagine that they've released something bad, but those 22 calibers and 44 Magnums were... I mean, they disappeared immediately.
The 22 caliber came out near like 15 years ago.
No, it's about 10 years ago.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it's probably even less than that.
Yeah,
no,
really? You reckon?
No, it came out when I was working in the shop.
Okay.
It came out like 2009.
Eight or nine.
The best person I've ever seen success.
10 years ago. That is nearly 10 years ago, sorry.
The best success with that was Reese from Bigfoot had one. For a while, his setup, I think, was just his Les Paul into one of those.
Yeah. into a tiny
he
cab.
Made it sound great, but that was probably one of the only times I ever heard it sound.
I think the best I've ever seen it is when we used it for a video demo at GAC and ran a Kemper into it.
So ridiculous. So ridiculous. Anyway, well, it's good to see more making waves in kind of that that direction. Let's see how that pans out, and we might even be able to get one for a give it a little review.
Oh yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. Talking about reviews, just quickly, I think my favourite ever pedal demo that we've done went up on the YouTube channel yesterday. Matt demos the Mattoverse Warble Swell Delay Deluxe. It sounds absolutely incredible. Like, it sounded really good on the day, but it sounds so good in the video.
Yeah, I wanted that pedal.
Yeah, we're giving it away. I haven't decided quite on the competition yet.
I was trying to keep it, and you made me bring it back.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, there will be a competition going up probably in the Facebook group at some point in the next week or so. I haven't decided exactly how we're going to give it away yet. But, yeah, check out the demo now.
Whoever comes up with the best way for us to give it away will win the pedal.
That's genius.
No. God, how would that even work?
The we've spoken about it before, but that's a delay pedal that what makes it so good is that it has an unlatching third switch that allows you to
instant feedback, basically. Yeah. Kicks in the feedback loop and ramps up the feedback, and
what
you get that.
What a brilliant way of making a delay completely dynamic.
Do you know what the other thing, good thing about it is the gain control on there adds like a really nice kind of vintage grit to the delay. Like, Matt, I don't know if you've noticed it in the demo, but particularly on the first bit of playing that you do, like this, there's all this like grit that comes in when the delay comes in, and you can kill it straight away either by turning down the gain knob or just knocking the delay off. But it just sounds really, really nice. Completely different to anything else out there, which is
I mean, just the sound on that video was just brilliant. Yeah. If I was like looking for a delay pedal and I watched that, I'd be like, that sounds really good compared to a lot of other stuff that's on the market that's twice the price.
Yeah.
Thought that sounded amazing.
Yeah, the only downside is a bit difficult to get them in the UK at the moment. He doesn't have a UK dealer, but he is looking to sort that, I believe. So hopefully they'll be coming in. But yeah, big kind of thumbs up from Guitar Nerds, I guess, for the Mattoverse Warble Swell Deluxe Delay. Warble Swell Delay Deluxe.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Shall we dive headfirst into a big old pool of questions? Stevie, he says... Yes. Stevie posted in the Facebook group and said, this is my 2015 Deluxe Strat. It's one of 500 worldwide. Mahogany body, Shawbucker in the bridge, S1 switch, etc. I struggle with the modern C-neck. Otherwise, it's a fantastic guitar. Should I sell it or keep it? I've been thinking if I hold on to it a few years, the value is going to increase. But at the same time, I don't play it much because of the thin neck. What should I do?
The value will not increase.
I'm glad that we're doing this early and my neighbours will enjoy that one. But
good.
So, Joe Branton, you think the value will not increase?
A mahogany-bodied Stratocaster. With S1 switching. S1 switching, the biggest failure of all switching types of all
time. It's definitely not a bad guitar. It's just maybe not what people are looking for in a Strat. No. So, very cool that it's limited edition. Cool that it's mahogany body. And, you know...
How is that cool?
Well, doing something very different. You know, a humbucker mahogany body Strat is not going to sound like a regular Strat. It's going to sound like a big, kind of beefy... powerhouse guitar. And probably sounds fantastic. Those Shawbuckers are generally pretty well regarded. Mahogany bodies in general are chunky sounding, so it probably sounds great. I would say that the chances of it increasing in value, because it's so far removed from what a regular Strat is, even though it's limited edition, probably not going to go up.
I think the only way
it probably will in about 25 years.
The only way it could possibly go up in the short term is if Joe Bonamassa
completely
bought and started to play one, you know, that, like, or someone like that. But I just don't think that's going to happen. And if it does happen, then Fender will quickly release a number of mahogany bodied Strats. You know, very, very cool guitar, but if you're not into it, then I think probably move it on.
Yeah, definitely. If you can't get on with that neck, and modern C's, I guess, are fairly shallow. And I guess if you've bought a mahogany body guitar with a humbucker, you're probably into Gibson
Les Pauls
type
things.
So yeah, it's a bit of a weird anomaly, that guitar. Very cool, and like you say, great that it's limited edition. Is it going to go up in value? Probably not. Time to move it on and get something that you actually want to play.
Funnily enough, they've done some successful Telecasters in that format.
Mahogany body with a humbucker.
Well, yeah, mahogany bodied humbucking Telecasters.
Really?
Well, it works as a Tele. It doesn't work as a Strat.
What guitars are mahogany body with humbuckers?
Well, they did them all the time. I can't think of a specific one, but there was they've done
I'll tell you
mahogany.
One.
Yeah, go on. Thanks, man.
Go on, Matt.
Not from Fender, but that's what I've got coming in the Friedman. Mahogany body with two humbuckers.
They definitely did.
And wasn't it the does sound great. It does sound really nice.
Wasn't the Elite, the Fender Elite, the old Elites?
No.
They were mahogany, weren't they? They were really heavy. The 80s ones.
Oh, I don't think they were mahogany. I think it was just bad time for guitars in general, and they're just really heavy. I can't think of a single mahogany-bodied humbucker Telecaster.
Really? I'm sure there were. So, I don't care. It's too early.
good. Joe Bratton's given up. So, Mike says, after trying plenty of guitars in 15 years, after trying plenty of guitars in the 15 years I've been playing and having owned about 10 electrics, I now have a question. Are there any more affordable mid-range guitars which have good stock pickups? So basically he's saying mid-range guitars generally do not have good pickups. Is there anything that kind of bucks that trend? J. Cross.
Let me bring us back to the old school.
This is old school.
Let me bring us back to the old school.
It's been a couple of months at least.
And let me tell you my two favourite words. Baja Telecaster.
Yeah, boy.
The best guitar you can buy for under £1,000.
It used to be under £500.
I don't think it was ever. I think it was always just over 500.
It was like 545.
Yeah, something like that. Best guitar you can buy for under a grand. Great pickups. Twisted Telly in the neck and no caster in the bridge.
Yeah.
Fan. Bloody-tastic.
Indeed. You're going to say fan-fretted then.
Fan-fretted Baja Telecaster.
Matt Knight, can you think of anything?
Reverend.
Yes, 100%.
I think the pickups in those, straight out of the box, fantastic. Pretty mid-priced from $599 to $999, which I suppose is really what you class as a mid-priced guitar now.
Yeah, that's... definitely. They're all... Is Railhammer the brand of the pickups they use?
I think it's the brand that's owned by Reverend.
Yeah.
Remember rightly.
It's the person who started Reverend, whose name I can't remember. He then also formed this pickup company.
Yeah. Yeah, but Railhammer is what they're called, isn't it? Because I thought that might be the model, but no.
That's what's in the Billy Corgan anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that, I think, blew us all away last year. If you go back and listen to the Gear of the Year episodes, you'll hear us kind of heaping praise on the Reverend Billy Corgan guitar. But, I mean, mainly for the setup, but also I think we're all quite impressed with how good quality the pickups were for a guitar of not a huge amount of money. Joe B, can you think of anything?
Yeah, Jackson put out... Jackson did their Misha Mansour... signature range last year, and they were all like $2,500 for a guitar, but they just put out a load of kind of £600 Misha Mansour's.
And what pickups are in there?
I am just looking it up.
Okay, good.
On a very,
good to know.
very slow website.
While you do that, I'm going to give a shout out to the PRS SEs. I always have thought the pickups in those are not terrible.
That's real high praise.
Well, in such as they're not a name brand pickup, so you're not, you know, like... You're not expecting Seymour Duncan quality you know, DiMarzio or anything like that. But for particularly on the low end ones, I always kind of thought that they were really good for the price that you were paying for the, because the guitars are great value anyway. And I kind of think that the pickups in there have been pretty good over the years. And definitely worth kind of mentioning. You know, they're certainly above the quality of that you get in Epiphone or high end Squires and stuff like that.
So. I mean, if you go to the S2 range, so sort of like $1099 to $1299, so a bit above kind of a normal mid price, the pickups in those are amazing.
Yeah.
And those, like, as in the Vela especially, I think the selection of pickups, which are their own pickups and own pickup design in the neck, they sound brilliant.
I guess we should also shout out the low end Gibson stuff, you know, things like SG Specials and, you know, that kind of entry into the Gibson range have always
they're,
had.
Usually 490s, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't like them.
Which, well, they, I think, yeah, they can be a bit Marmite because they can be a bit, like, harsh, I think, sometimes, depending on what sort of thing
always
you're after.
Favoured by metal players, which is why the SG specials and stuff have always worked really well, is because straight out of the box, you know, if you're a metal player, you've got a mahogany body guitar that with a finish that could be like beaten up straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got 490Ts in there and 490R.
Yeah.
Which is like
498R, I think, isn't it? 498R and 490T, I think.
Something like that.
Not nipping.
And they are a great pickup for metal because they have got this kind of harsh, but they've got, you know, real modern sound.
I don't like them. I had an SG for a very, very short period of time.
You?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I bought it and it had it actually had some EMGs in it.
Oh yeah, so you left those in.
I left those in. No, I bought it. I had EMGs in. I can't remember what they were. They were just whatever. What the standard EMGs?
81, 85s.
Yeah, it had 81, 85s in it. And I took them straight out and put in some some 498R and a 490T or whatever way around it is.
Yeah.
I just didn't get on with it at all. And sold it very, very quickly.
Joey B, tell us the pickups in this Mission Man saw.
They're MM1, so the Mission Man saw, they're you know, Jackson's own, but they're based on bare knuckle nail bombs.
Okay, and, so what's and in the really expensive good model? Is that the bare knuckles?
Bare knuckles, yeah.
Right, and then
but also we should shout out Washburn's Ola England model, which of course comes with Seymour Duncan's. I can't remember
the Blackouts.
Yeah, the Blackouts. Yeah, exactly, and that's you know an affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
Price guitar.
Isn't that funny that, you know, Bare Knuckle have gone from being a company who make pickups based on other people's pickups to now being a company who other people make pickups based on their pickups?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's
weird.
I think that's really funny, you know?
That's very, very weird.
Actually, Schecter, their whole sort of 2017 range, they've got a whole series of guitars that feature the what's the name of the pickup that is an Ebo?
Sustainiac.
Sustainiac, yeah, they've got a whole range of guitars that have Sustainiacs.
Who do?
In them. Schecter.
Schecter,
yeah.
Oh, okay,
exactly. So,
and they're not mega money.
Not mega money, no. I mean, sort of varying from like £600-700 up, but I guess that just about counts as mid price.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and you know, just if you want something different, I can't recommend more picking up anything with a Sustainiac in it. But Schecter do a whole range of really good looking, like sort of grey burst.
I always wanted to hate the Sustainiac, and then do you remember at GAC when we had the Jackson PC1 or PC3?
Phil Collin from
Def Leppard. So, yeah. And it had been there for years. Like, I think one of them had been there like 8 or 9 years or something. Because obviously, you know, not a hugely fashionable guitar player. And I just got it down off the shelf one day and like plugged it into a 5150 or, you know, 6505 or something, and just played around with it and turned the Sustainiac on. And I was like, this actually is the best invention ever. It's like,
I just don't know where
fun
you can buy them from.
Separately?
I don't think you can now. I think they only supply them with guitars. Maybe that's
because I was looking at the Vond, the Paul Vaux Vond, who was the guy that invented the Sustainiac system for the Moog guitar.
Oh yeah,
and he's invented like a new Ebo basically, but it's like a small pen.
Okay.
That you hold instead, so it's much easier to use. And I'm really tempted to buy one.
Drop him an email, see if we can get one.
Yeah, because I think they're in the prototype stage at the moment, so it's kind of like a Kickstarter, and I'm like, do I?
Yeah,
they're not cheap.
Do it.
Do it. With that, we should probably wrap this episode up. If you want to hear more, you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week by going to patreon.com/guitar nerds. From as little as $1 a month, you can support us. You get the main episode an hour early and without any ads. From $5 a month, you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content guaranteed every week, plus access even to all the previous episodes. It's like 70 or 80 hours worth there, and any interviews and stuff that we're doing. There's bits and pieces going up there all the time, including Branton's Rant On, the series where Joe talks about stuff that he hates in the guitar world. And from $10 a month, you get access to our exclusive executive backer tier, like these people have.
WrestleMania.
What are you doing? Ugh. Rich Derek, Connors Chris, Joyce Andy, Merkel Steve, Tom's Blair, Mancha Carlos, Macro Andrew, Cross Mark, Short JD, Mackenzie Andy, Paige Brad, Corrigan Paul, Godfrey Jack, Claire Will, O'Brien Scott, Quine Matt, Thompson Phil, Anstis Laurie, Graffin Moog, Anderson Colin.
WrestleMania. You did all right there. I thought you were going to...
I thought you were going to muff it up in a big way. Anyway, if you want to get involved with the...
Anderson Colin sounds like someone I really want to be mates with.
Hi.
I like Rich Derek.
Big, big money Rich D. If you want to get involved with the podcast, you can submit questions and stuff and chat to other podcast listeners in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds. I guess you could follow us individually on Twitter. Not Matty, he's deactivated his.
Oh,
I'm
no,
considering
I'm
deactivating mine. You're gone. J Cross might be the last man standing. JAYBN1. With that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.